Welcome back to season two of Are You From That Show, the podcast brought to you by Jordan and Hattie. We're back. We are back with another season, and we are so excited to have another amazing set of guests for you guys. So thank you for tuning in and listening to our conversations. It's still 2020 and we know what that means. So these recordings have taken place over Skype. We hope very much that you enjoy them. Please do share and like and rate and subscribe so that other people can listen too. So here we are with episode one of season two with the amazing and quite frankly legendary Danny Harmer. Enjoy.
It is working. Step one done.
Yay!
BAFTA winner Danny Harmer rose to fame playing the iconic role of Tracy Beaker, appearing in every season of the CBBC show. She went on to star in Danny's House and later Danny's Castle, and in 2012 was a contestant on the legendary show Strictly Come Dancing, reaching the grand final. When not filming, Danny's been working in theatre, Twelfth Night, Rocky Horror, and numerous pantomimes. This year, it was announced that she will be reprising the role of Tracy in a new BBC show, My Mum, Tracy Beaker, which she is currently filming. Hello, Danny.
Hello, what a lovely introduction. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Well, it's all you.
It's so funny when people read all that out. I'm like, oh, wow, yeah, I did do that. Oh, I remember that. It's really nice.
It's like a trip down like a really long like memory lane.
Yeah, exactly. Just a long CBBC memory lane.
So people would obviously mainly know you from Tracy Beaker.
Yes, I assume so.
You assume so. How did you get into acting? How'd it happen?
I think that it was down to my grandparents, actually. I used to put on shows for them constantly, and I think they just got so bored of watching them that they were like, you know what, why don't you just go to a drama class instead? Yeah. Then we don't have to watch these awful things. So they were kind of the ones that encouraged me, actually. I just went to a little part-time drama school sort of on like a Saturday morning, and it kind of just all snowballed from there, really. I used to love watching like musicals when I was younger. Annie was like my favourite. I'd watch it constantly, and I'd sit on my window and look out and sing all the songs and reenact it. So I was kind of always destined to do it, I guess, because there was just something in me that just loved watching the TV and loved singing and dancing. So
did you ever go to a stage school?
I did, yes. I went to a stage school. I think I joined when I was about 7 or 8, I think, after I'd already started doing a few jobs, just because it was easier to kind of get time off school. And and I actually really liked it because we could do dancing and singing and acting kind of in the afternoon, and it was less maths.
Yeah.
Always a good thing.
Jordan maths. Went to Sylvia's.
I went to Sylvia's,
Did you? Oh, okay.
But I went there when I was like 11, but you were like, must have been really young then.
I was really young, and I got a scholarship, so I think that's probably the only reason why I stayed, really, because stage school is the weirdest, a strange environment. Yeah, it's just bizarre, and it wasn't really for me. I was kind of from like a very working class background, kind of with parents who worked their socks off, and I was going to school with like millionaires who had like pools in their gardens and stuff. Yeah, I just didn't fit in, and I was just purely there because I loved working, and they gave me that opportunity, and you know, and it wasn't too much hassle. So I think that's the only reason why I stayed there, to be honest.
No, I think I started Sylvia's when I was 11, and I was on a scholarship. I was on a working scholarship, so basically any work that I did professionally paid my school fees.
Right.
So that's kind of like, that was the deal I was on sort of for the time that I was there. But it was the same kind of thing for me, really. Like I was North London, and then we moved out to Enfield, and it was kind of weird going from, I went to a normal secondary school for like 6 months and then went to Silver Young, and it was like, it was such a strange change of environment. It was like strange.
It's like night and day, isn't it? It's literally like being in an episode of Fame, but 24/7, and no one ever switches off.
Yeah, that was definitely my school. I remember one particular time in like year nine, and we were meant to do a performing arts GCSE lesson. And I was in a room and all the girls, basically it was like 20 girls, and they just started dancing and doing like full-on routines in Moulin Rouge. And I was just sitting there going, this is not bad, actually.
See, I was the kid in the corner going, oh, God. Oh, no, please don't involve me in this. I just want to eat my sandwich.
So, Danny, when you got cast as Tracy Beaker, did you know from that first series how successful and how long it was going to be as a job?
No, I actually had no idea whatsoever. I hadn't even read the book, which was crazy. So I literally had no idea. At first, I heard that it was going to be like 15-minute episodes. And it was just straight after school. And I was thinking, well, no one's going to watch that. They're all going to be coming back and getting their snacks and getting changed. So I just had no idea. Like, I loved Jacqueline Wilson's books growing up, but Tracy Beaker was the only one that I'd never read. And I still haven't read it. So I knew that people might be interested off the back of the books. But I had no idea that I would be sitting here at the age of 31, still playing the character. Nothing can prepare you for that, I don't think.
No, it's true. It's odd that, you know, we're saying some other guests sort of like, you have to learn to kind of like respond to two names, don't you?
Yeah,
like
absolutely. Annie
and Tracy.
Yeah, absolutely. To be fair, people like sometimes shout Tracy at me and I don't turn round, because on the occasion that I have, it's just been another woman called Tracy that I'm actually telling. So I just keep walking and just hope that someone actually says my actual name eventually.
When you started the series, you were how old? 12, 13?
12, yeah. 12 stopped the first series.
But before you'd done Tracy Beaker, like, what kind of like other experiences you had of like professional like work or like the industry?
Got my first job when I was 6, and that was in a musical in the West End, which was pretty cool.
Was that Tommy?
Yes, it was Tommy. So I started my career as a boy, which is great. Yeah, so that was my first job, which was just crazy. It was a great first job to have, actually, and I learnt loads. But I hadn't done like an awful lot of TV. I'd done a series called Trial and Retribution, which I'd done a few series of. But other than that, I hadn't really done an awful lot. So Tracy Beaker for me was such a huge learning curve. I must have been the most annoying child, because I was literally in everyone's department constantly, like asking what they were doing, like what their job involved. Must have been so annoying. But it's good now, because I kind of look back and go, you at least you sort of like asked people and got involved and wanted to know everything. So I was like a little sponge. I was just so
interview with you on YouTube, and in it you talked about wanting to go behind the camera as well.
I still want to do that, to be honest. When I did Danny's House and Danny's Castle, I was very much involved in the kind of coming up with the idea, the script writing, characters, everything. So I was kind of more a producer on that, which was really good fun. It's definitely something that I want to pursue, definitely.
So did you have to move to go and film Tracy Beaker? Was it in the holidays, or would you take long periods off and live somewhere else?
So they made the decision to shoot most of it in the summer holidays, because there were so many kids and obviously they didn't want us to spend that much time out of school. And we had a lovely tutor on set with us, Mrs. Rainbow. She was so sweet. It was actually really good for me, because I felt like I learned a lot more one-on-one than I did in the classroom anyway. So it actually really benefited me. That GCSE year was hard, though. There was about 3 or 4 of us all doing our GCSEs, and it was just manic. Like, you just wanted to concentrate on the work, but at the same time, you had to study. It was just trying to find a balancing act, which I don't think I found. I think I walked away with about 3 GCSEs, but thank goodness I haven't needed them, really. that was only the tough thing, really. Other than that, I absolutely loved being tutored. It actually did me the world of good, to be honest.
A lot of people have said that, actually.
Yeah. A guy who I was with, Patrick, he was 2 school years above me, and he was amazing at maths, but because he was so amazing, I always wanted to like try and be like just as good as he was at maths.
Sure. Yeah.
So like, I remember reading his books being like year 9. I don't know why I was reading his books, but I like he's like year 11, but I'd be like, yeah, I'll remember this stuff. I don't know. So just, I was obviously just very competitive though. So
yeah,
that I can't really say.
What was it like getting recognised when you first started to get noticed?
Oh, so weird. So weird. I still find it weird now that people want to come up and have a photo with me. I find it very, very bizarre. I'm just like, I'm just normal me, mother, just walking around the shops. So yeah, I found it really, really weird at first. And obviously I was only 12, so I was so young. And some kids can be really horrible. I'm glad that we've kind of, I'm an adult now and can take it. But yeah, some kids, I think, they just sort of didn't understand, I guess, like what I did as a job, and it might have come from a bit of jealousy just because I was on the telly. Yeah, it was hard to deal with. But luckily, the majority of the people were really, really nice to me. So that was good.
I mean, it has been weird going back to school. I think when I was at school, sort of like, you know, 11 to 15, 16, I kind of, because everyone in my school obviously was already in the industry, they kind of, it didn't really matter to them. But when I went to college when I was 16 and suddenly you were like a bit out of your comfort zone, well, for me, I was anyway, it was harder to kind of gauge on whether people were being like genuine or not.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, did you find as well when you were at school there was like a slight bit of jealousy because you were all kind of striving towards the same thing? Because with being at theatre school, obviously everyone wanted to be like an actor or a singer or a dancer. And I always found that those guys were like the least supportive because they wanted to do it. And obviously a couple of them had auditioned for the part as well. So I always found whenever I'd like got a new opportunity or I was going on Blue Peter or something like that, I was like, just didn't want to say because I knew that it would cause like a weird atmosphere. Whereas my friends from back home found it so cool. They were like, yeah, my friend's Tracy Beaker and he's watching it and he's love it. So those two kind of different worlds were just there. It was weird to sort of juggle it, but I found that the theatre school guys were kind of a bit more jealous than just my normal friends that I'd grown up with back.
I can imagine that actually.
Yeah, it was actually oddly, I think because my parents are aliens, I wasn't like such a lead character.
Right.
It wasn't like, I don't think I did like the same, like you both probably had much bigger experience of like going on like press tours and doing like really, really cool things. I went on Jungle Run once, which is fun. That was like the only really cool thing I did. I think people just were like not that fussed about what I was doing, even at theatre school. They would just be like, yeah, he disappears for 6 months and then he comes back, but you know, it's not like he's off to America going on really cool talk shows and whatever, or going on Blue Peter. But yeah, so I think maybe they kind of, I don't know, they accepted me more because of that. I don't know.
Oh, I don't know what happened there.
We're back.
Oh my goodness, I told you, I warned you about me and technology. Right. Oh my goodness, everything I touch, honestly. Right, I'm back. Hello, sorry.
Back.
Yeah.
Did you, obviously, as Tracy Beaker got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, did you like find you liked being known as Tracy Beaker? Or were you ever like, I want to separate myself from Tracy Beaker. Do you ever get like that?
Yeah, it's been a funny one with me because I think I've gone through everything with this character, really. I think I really struggled when I was a teenager because I just wanted to be a normal teenager. Like, I didn't want to be treated any differently. I was bored of people kind of like using it as a negative and being like, oh, you're Tracy Beaker. And that's kind of like what got stuck in my head for a while there. And I was like, I kind of got to my 20s and I was like, actually just embrace it because people really love this character and they're watching the program, and kind of concentrate on the fans that enjoy watching it rather than these silly morons that just pop up every now and again. So now I fully embrace it. I love playing the character. It's such a cool part to play.
Yeah.
Like, she's so cool. And I don't think I'm probably never going to have that opportunity in my career to play such a awesome character that people can relate to and they can also dislike at times, but they can also love. And she's so well-rounded that, I've kind of fully embrace her now, which is why it's really nice to bring her back.
Yeah,
kind of gone like full circle with it. I've gone from like loving playing her to like wish I really hadn't, to now embracing it and loving it again. Being back as an adult is so weird because like I did Trace Beaker Returns where I came back as a care worker, but I was early 20s and it was kind of just fun and Now playing a mum is just, it's good. It's given her a whole new side to this character that people are going to be really interested to see, I think, because being a mum does completely change you, but you are still the same person. So it's nice to see Tracy. Don't worry, she still loses her temper and shouts and like tries to punch people. But she's also got this amazing side that where she's like this kind of mother bear, like she's so protective of this child. So yeah, it's really, really cool to. We're really having a good time filming it, despite the weird circumstances we find ourselves in this strange, strange year.
So has it been planned for quite a while? Have you been in talks for this for a few years?
Yeah, it's been really a long time coming. Like, pretty much as soon as Jacqueline released the book, I was like, I think the BBC are going to be phoning me soon and asking me. So yeah, it's kind of been on the cards for ages. And then we were going to do it earlier on this year, but then obviously everything happened. And then whilst I was in lockdown, I was just eating merrily, thinking this isn't going to happen.
Like all of us.
Yeah. I put on 2 dress sizes, having the best time. And then they were like, oh no, we are still going to shoot it. I was like, oh, but I'm fat now. This is rubbish. But it's been a long time coming. But I'm glad that we persevered, actually, because we, us as an industry, we need to be able to adapt. Think by us sort of persevering, coming up with weird ways around things, like some characters haven't been able to kiss when they've needed to kiss, so like clever camera angles and stuff, which makes it look very strange when you're watching it, but as a viewer it should work. Just proving that we can survive through this and we can still make great content, and so fingers crossed, we've got 2 more weeks, so hopefully we can keep going and keep everyone safe.
I'll go back a little bit to, like, so you now have a daughter? Yes,
I do, yeah, she's 4.
Wow. Yeah. Does she, like, understand?
She doesn't have a clue, actually. She's very much still just watching Peppa Pig, so I don't think she's quite ready for Tracy Beaky yet. And also, trying to explain to a 4-year-old what you're doing inside a telly is really hard work, so I think I've just got to wait until she's older and just let her watch it, I think.
Like, my parents, there was no one in my family who were in the industry. I was the first one to ever... My aunt saw an ad for a short film in the newspaper. That's how I got into acting.
Right.
But like now we're all having kids and assuming our kids maybe want to start doing the same sort of thing that maybe we did when we were younger. What would you do if your daughter was like, maybe wants to start doing...
Yeah, well, I run a performing arts school, so I feel like I'd be a bit of a hypocrite if I was like, no, go and get a proper job.
Not you.
Yeah. So, I definitely encourage it if that's what she wants to do. But I would obviously, from experience, explain how hard it is. And if you're willing to go through this crazy life, or whether you just want to get a regular job and be nice and cushy and know when your money's coming and all of that stuff. So I think at least I'll be able to come from it from like a pros and a cons kind of thing. So, I do run a school. So I'm so passionate about getting kids involved in the arts, whether it's just for a hobby or a career. So she certainly loves to sing and dance and loves dressing up. She's constantly in a princess dress or a superhero outfit. So she's definitely got that kind of spark in her already. So we'll just see what happens. If she really loves it and really wants to do it, then I'll be behind her every step of the way.
I feel the same, actually, because I just think for kids doing acting classes, dancing classes, singing, it does so much for your confidence, being able to speak to adults, have relationships outside of your school, your family. Mm. I'm all for it.
I think I change my mind weekly. I think if my kid wants to be a footballer, I'd be like, yeah, do it.
A footballer, that's probably even harder.
Yeah, I know, but I guess with a footballer, I don't know the potential pitfalls.
So I'm like, exactly. Yeah, you're just there going, that. Oh, well, if you're a footballer, when you're older, you can definitely take care of me when I'm older. So, do it. That'd be great. But I do think it's so good for confidence building. I've had so many kids come to my school that can not even look me in the eye and say hello. And then a year later, they're standing up on a stage doing this huge singing solo. So, yeah, it's really important. And it's a shame that our schools don't kind of have the money to help with it anymore. So I'm just glad I can kind of give back and just get more kids involved in it, really. But kind of also be a bit more realistic with it as well, and just know that it's probably going to be a hobby. But if you want to make it, I can help you with that also.
That's one thing I would definitely say if my kid did want to go into the industry, I'd be like, I would support them, obviously I would, but I would be like, have other stuff that you enjoy as well, you know. If you get to, you know, whatever age and you decide it's not for you anymore, you have got something else that you love to do also that you really enjoy. Like I almost, like when I left Sylvia's, my choices in life were like, okay, cool, be an actor, continue doing that, or be an accountant. That's two different choices.
Accountant?
Yeah. I never
told me that.
I know, because I kept it quiet. But I do really love maths. And I was like, it was like an acting or accounting. I was like, those are my two options. Both weren't mutually exclusive. So that was where I would go in my career.
Yeah, I never came up with a backup plan. It's very odd. So, yeah, I should probably start making one just in case.
Well, accounting is there for you if you want to take mine.
Thank you so much. I might just take you up on that offer.
An actor who can be an accountant as well is actually quite a good job, because you could be the accountant to all your friends as well.
Yeah, that was part of the plan. It was like, all you people I go to school with might become really successful and I'll be your accountant. Yeah, that was my choice.
Danny, did you have any, because I was watching quite a few of interviews with you yesterday, and you are so great in interviews when you're younger. Did you have training? Did they sort of tell you what to say, or how you should kind of conduct yourself?
No, not at all, actually. Yeah, kind of just left you to it. I think they just, hope for the best, really, shoving a 13-year-old or however old I was live on telly is always a bit scary, isn't it? But lucky I've just got a big gob and can just talk. So I never really had any troubles with that, actually. But I think that's an important thing that maybe they should kind of help with, because it can be quite scary going on live TV for the first time, and you really don't want to embarrass yourself or the programme, and you never know what you're going to get asked. So it would always be helpful, I think, if they did start introducing that. But yeah, for me, I'm kind of just so used to it now that it's sort of second nature. I used to love going on like Blue Peter and CBBC and stuff like that. I used to get so excited, even though they'd make you do the weirdest stuff. Like some of the stuff I've done is just weird and so bizarre, but I always had good fun with it.
Did you ever get gunged on any show?
Oh yeah, I used to go on Dick and Dom quite a lot.
Yeah.
I remember I was a bit older, well a lot older actually, because I'd gone out the night before, which was a terrible idea. And I just remember being on Dick and Dom in the bungalow with this hangover and just being pelted with custard, and It was just the worst day of my life. And from that moment on, I have never drunk the day before any job ever. Like, that's literally haunted me for the rest of my life. But yeah, the kids shows are so fun. They don't take themselves too seriously, and you can just be yourself. So it's good fun.
What was it like, obviously so recognizable as Tracy Beaker, what was it like auditioning for other roles that weren't Tracy Beaker? Did you find that people were like, you're Tracy Beaker, we can't see you as anything else? Or were they like open to it? What was it? What did you like? You must have got some huge things then with like your profile.
Castings are always funny, because I do find that quite a lot of people just do see me as Tracy Beaker, and that's kind of it. And I suppose it depends on what kind of role it is. I mean, I think I'm struggling a bit more now because I'm in my 30s, but I don't really look it.
Yeah.
But I'm also too old really to play like the early 20s. I'm just trying to like find where I fit, basically. So I'm kind of hoping now that people might see me as not the teenager with braces and the acne and the frizzy hair, and maybe more as like a more mature woman, which is what I am. I think I've always kind of struggled with that. I get some great opportunities, but yeah, I do find that people tend to pigeonhole you in this industry, which is really sad, because you know, I've got more to show. My passion obviously is just playing different characters. Like, I love it. That's why I got into acting. So I'd love to be given that opportunity maybe in the future to show that I can do other things.
Yeah.
I don't just shout and play the bitch. I can do anything.
What was it? Do you mind if I ask? What was it like doing Strictly?
Oh my gosh, so fun. I had the best time. It's like one of the best jobs I've ever done in my entire life. Also the most nerve-wracking. My goodness. Even now, if I hear the theme tune, I'm like,
yeah.
Oh my goodness. Just the wait to like go on, and just, you just know the whole way through when you're dancing, you're like, millions of people are watching you, millions and millions, all these eyes are watching you, don't make a mistake, like honestly. And it's just terrifying, but I had the best dance partner ever. He was awesome. We had so much fun. I mean, the work that goes into it, no one can prepare you for how many hours of dancing you've got to do. Like, it was just, it was a shock to the system. But yeah, I loved it. And I got to fake tan loads and wear really pretty dresses. So yeah, I just loved it. And I would do it again, like in a heartbeat. Not,
I mean, you were amazing on it. You were amazing on it as well. You were just so good.
Yeah, I just threw myself into it really, and just loved every second, and really got into every single style of dance. Like, I thought I was going to find like the waltz really boring, but actually I loved that. And then I thought, oh, the tango looks really hard, but then I got involved in that as well. And yeah, the whole thing was just really, really enjoyable. I got really lucky as well, because the cast that year, we all got on like a house on fire. The press hated us because they literally had nothing to write about. Yeah, there was no bitch fights. There was no affairs. There was none of that. We just really enjoyed each other's company, and we were really rooting for each other as well. It didn't really feel like a competition. Every week when someone left, it was really sad, and we didn't want anyone to leave.
So
the press, they hated us. They were like, oh, what a boring series. I was like, well, we're having fun, so leave us alone.
Obviously, when you were filming, like when you were younger, you had that experience of being like part of like a kind of a almost a family away from your family. Like,
I always find that with filming, that you do tend to like form kind of like a family relationship.
Yeah,
because it's such a bizarre industry that you suddenly just turn up and you're just with a bunch of strangers, and there's no time to really get to know each other. You're sort of getting to know each other on the job, and then like a week later, these people feel like your best friends ever. It's just crazy like how quickly it works here. But yeah, when I was younger and we all used to get together, it was just the best. It was like working with all your best friends every single summer. And the cast rarely changed, to be honest. I mean, kids came and went, but the majority of us were the same every year. So we had the best time. We used to go out at weekends, we used to go to fairs and stuff. Yeah, we were living our best lives. It was great.
Like, we as a cast meet up quite a bit and like chat about what we all did when we were like, you know, 13, 14, 15, 16. And like, it's such an odd experience that you just kind of like, it's amazing. And my partner, who isn't an actor, for her, it's like so amazing to hear about it and just to go, it just, because obviously for us, you're just doing what you were doing when you were 13.
Yeah.
But it's an experience that you can't, it's unparalleled, I think.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I love meeting up with the cast, because we just reminisce about all the good old days.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's just so fun. And it's nice as well, because there's only about three of us, I think, that are still acting. So everyone's kind of gone off on their own different directions. And it's nice that we can all sort of come back and still get on so well and, you know, talk about everything. And yeah, it was such a great time. We really did have a wonderful time.
Oh, Danny, thank you so much for having a chat with us.
You are so welcome. Thank you so much for having me.
It's lovely to meet you, even though we're, you know, looking at you over a screen.
I know, but this is like the new normal now, isn't it?
So I know. Bizarre.
Yeah, so fingers crossed next year, you know, everyone can start meeting back up in person. I hope. I miss people. I miss hugs. Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you so much to Danny for being on the episode, and thank you for listening. And thank you to George for providing the music. You can find him at soundcloud.com/George. That's JAUGE. Tune in next time. See you later.